With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is Julio Rodriguez, and this is the Lookout Landing Podcast.
Podcast with your hosts Quarantina Fay and Amy Lohner. I just came up with that like 20 minutes ago and I was pretty proud of it, to be honest. I started with Ike and Quarantina, and then I realized that Ike was a really bad dude and we should not be using that as our nickname. But
Ike is entirely canceled.
Yeah, extremely canceled.
Like everything else in life, but this time for a good reason.
Yeah, great point. But yeah, anyway, I'm Matthew Robertson at mroberson22 on Twitter. And I'm joined today by the one and only Kate Prusser, at Kate Prusser on Twitter. Kate, do you want to be Quarantina Fay or Amy Lohner?
I think I am more of a Quarantina Fay. Although I would like to be Amy Lohner, which is also much more appropriate to who I am. Who do you want to be?
I was going to let you pick. I don't really have a preference. I think they're both great and very funny people. I don't know which one I would identify with more in life. I feel like Amy Poehler, from what I can gather, is a little less of a theater kid. Like, Tina Fey seems like very, like, theater nerd, which I was not at all. So I feel like I'm probably a little more similar to Amy Poehler. I don't know. That's kind of a loose connection.
I just think of them in terms of their, like, major roles, and I'm definitely more of a Liz Lemon than I am a Leslie Knope. I feel like you have some Leslie Knope energy. You're a go-getter. You're optimistic.
Trying.
What more can we ask from you, Matthew, or from any of us? Forget this writing King Lear in quarantine. Like, a day when I put pants on is a big day. Write that one down in the diary.
I've been totally, as I'm sure a lot of the work from home army is, I've been kind of alternating between like comfy outfits and then like a little less comfy, like feels more like I'm actually getting dressed, you know? Because like if I have to actually do a lot of stuff at work, and by at work I mean from my kitchen counter, I feel like it helps my brain to like put on a real shirt, and then I'll just be wearing sweatpants underneath it. You know, I look very weird a lot of the times during this. I'll like walk to the bathroom and sort of glance at myself in the mirror. It's like, I haven't, like, my hair looks ridiculous, but I'm wearing a a semi-nice shirt and then like pajama pants and fuzzy socks. I'm like, oh, this is a look. This is good for productivity.
Quarantine looks. There is a writer, Rachel Syme, who writes for the New York Times or New Yorker, and has instituted quarantine but make it fashion on Sundays, where everyone like pulls the fanciest outfits that they can out of their closets and puts them on Sundays. So it's an excuse to like be a little bit of a human, and people have taken it like really kind of far. Like one woman has instituted like Sundays with they dress for dinner like they're on some kind of like old-fashioned cruise ship or something. Which I feel like is definitely helping a lot of people. So if you want an excuse, and then there's a long Twitter thread where people like post their quarantine hashtag quarantine but make it fashion looks. So if that's something that appeals to you, that or you just want to see a bunch of people wearing sequins for no good reason, definitely check that out.
Yeah, I'll have to get into that. I've been discovering my love for pajamas again. I was a big pajama pants person in my teens. Not like to school or anything. I wasn't one of those kids, but I would definitely like wear them to sleep and then come home from school and immediately change back into them and just kind of lounge around. And I've definitely been doing that all over again. And some of them are probably from that era, like at least 10 years old that I've just held on to for that long.
Yeah, you know, I had pajama Thunderdome very conveniently right before I was scheduled to go to Arizona for spring training. I realized I needed to upgrade a pair of sleep pants that I've had for like a decade that were literally just being held together by threads at the seams. They were so ridiculous, but they fit perfectly. They were so comfortable. I just kind of overlooked the like crater-sized holes in them. I was like, okay, I really, really need to probably invest in it. But it's hard to find like a perfect pajama pant. And I went through like 10 different options before I found a few good ones. But what I realized was I really wanted to do matched pajama sets so that I didn't feel, because I do spend a lot of time in pajamas anyway. So I went through and I like cleared out any of the pajamas that sort of made me feel sloppy when I had them on. And now I have a lot of like matched sets and stuff that is in pretty good shape. It's so easy, I'm saying, to let your pajamas get, make you feel sloppy because they are holy or they are ill-fitting or they're very old. So something I recommend to everyone as we are doing this quarantine thing for who knows how much longer, and you're probably also spending a lot of time in your pajamas, is have pajama Thunderdome. You know, hold two pairs up and be like, only one of you may live, and then you know, discard the losers. It also makes you feel powerful, which I think is something that we could all use right now.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, my advice to everyone is just, like, do whatever works for you. There's no, like, recipe out of this. Obviously, none of us have ever had to do this before. So it's, like, whatever you think will help your own brain get through this extremely strange time, absolutely do that. For me, it's been a lot of finally watching things that people have told me to watch forever. And, like, that list is just, it's so long. Like, I literally keep a list in my phone of things people tell me to watch, and I just now, what is it, 7 years later, I'm watching Nathan For You, which is like one of those shows that I knew I would like, and for whatever reason I've never watched it until right now, and I'm just delighted by it every single night. And like, that's one of the things I actually look forward to when I like quote unquote clock out for the day and like close my work computer. Then I just put on like two or three episodes of Nathan For You and laugh my ass off.
I've never seen that. I'll have to add that to my list. I just added some to your list because you told me you'd never seen any Audrey Hepburn films, and she's one of my favorites. So, make you watch Roman Holiday.
Yeah, we got nothing but time. I mean, it's that or just walk around aimlessly in a contained area that does not extend beyond my neighborhood.
I was like, oh, finally a chance to learn SQL, and I'll learn Spanish, and I'll exercise, and I'll do all these. And I mean, what that has translated for me is like, I listen to a lot of Bad Bunny, and I'm like, this checks off, like, three of these things at once. I've gotten really into Bad Bunny. Like, that's learning Spanish. Like, check. So, yeah, do what works for you. Should I be adhering to a more rigorous Spanish program? Probably. Like, I have all this time, and I guilt myself constantly about the fact that I could be doing more than, like, watching Frozen in Spanish and listening to reggaeton. Neither of those things, I think, are maybe going to give me the kind of baseball Spanish vocabulary that I need, but, you know, it feels like doing something, and it's something that, like, my brain can handle, whereas I looked at a page from an old Spanish workbook, and my brain was like, nope. So, yeah, set achievable goals for yourself. Things that you'll find are fun and not more work on top of the work you might already have to do.
Yeah, I've been saying that the whole time. There's no reason to create more work for yourself during this. Have you seen that thing that people are doing? I've seen it come across my Twitter timeline a couple times where people are like running marathons in their own backyard. Just like they'll run to one end of the backyard and then run to the other and do that until they're at 26 miles. That is truly insane person behavior to me. I cannot fathom ever doing that. I can never run a marathon either, so like that's obviously part of it. But doing it in that small of a space would feel like a hamster, you know?
Yeah, so the problem is this is running season. This is when this is sort of prime time because the weather is nice everywhere. You're not getting killed with humidity on the East Coast or whatever. So this is when there are a lot of marathons, half marathons. It's kind of the beginning, and then it goes through the summer and into the fall. But people can't really do that, so they've hacked these ways to train at home, which I think is really smart. I get a little nervous when I'm out walking and someone runs past me and they're like huffing and puffing. So I would love to see a solution for runners where they're like, okay, we're gonna close these streets to traffic every Sunday and you runners can all go run your faces off, like keeping your social distance, but here you can do it in this one like square area. And just because I feel bad for the people who are running. Literally, there was an ultra marathon event where you're supposed to run just like a 4 mile loop around your house and then stop and do as many as you could in a 24-hour period. Like, oh my gosh, why would you do that? But yeah, I'm props not doing to you that. If you are doing that.
Yeah, I'm a very inconsistent runner. I tried to get into it like a year ago because I figured it'd be like good free exercise that you can do on your own terms. You know, you don't need any equipment or like a gym or whatever. But I'm just really bad at sticking to it. But literally yesterday, one day ago, I went for a run and someone who lives in my neighborhood texted me and said that they saw me, and I felt extremely validated. Like, yes, someone witnessed me during this weird time actually getting outside and bettering myself. That's amazing.
And
then actually that was a double thing, because then she said, also, if you like are still out there, go look at the moon. And I didn't know about the super moon until she said that. So I went outside and looked at it for a little bit. And that was also really cool. So kind of a two birds situation.
You had a twofer there. Yeah, the moon was incredible last night. I feel like one thing that I do is I check in with the moon every day. I'm like, what's the moon doing? Because again, small world now. So that's been cool too, to kind of like get in touch with like what that's a convenient way of marking time, because I don't always remember what actual day of the week it is. Every, like, they all kind of blend in for me. So looking at the moon, I'm like, time has passed because the moon is a different shape now. It's fun.
Yeah, I still can't decide either if like because it's pretty nice in Seattle right now, and I can't figure out quite yet if that's good or bad for being in this situation. You know what I mean? Like, I think
it's bad.
You think it's bad?
Oh, I think it's 100% bad, because Seattleites have such a hard time staying inside when it's nice out, and I'm looking out the window right now, and it is gorgeous today. So, first of all, that feels mean. And secondly, I really think people are going to struggle with this because so many people don't have access to outside space and we're all trying to use the same space at the same time when there is like this window when it's nice. So gosh, just everyone be really careful out there.
Yeah, the other sort of weird irony to this is, like, I was already a walker. Like, I just love walking around. That's usually when I listen to podcasts, too, is, like, I just will start walking. Because I can't really, like, sit and listen to a podcast. And I don't really have, a long commute. So I don't really have, like, a natural time to listen to them. So I'll just kind of, like, walk around for an hour and throw on a podcast. But now, during the quarantine, there's more people out doing the same thing than there were before. So it's, like, oh, like now you guys found my like hobby. I'm not trying to be like a gatekeeper, but like, oh, now you're doing it. Now you're doing it when like we're actually kind of not supposed to. Like this has been an option the whole time, you know? And like now like I'll go on the exact same path that I always go on and see three times the amount of people. And it's like, you guys are just doing this because the government told you you should.
It makes me very Italian mayor about the whole thing. Oh, what? Now you're a marathon runner? Yeah. Now you are a podcast listener? Although, I don't know. If it drives more listens for this, I guess we can't really complain. But
that's a great point.
It does make me wonder, though, like, are people just out getting more exercise? Like, why are... Because I've noticed this, too, just kind of, like, anecdotally looking out my window. I live on a quiet road that's, like, away from the main road. So a lot of people opt for it as, like, it runs parallel. So it's, like, a nice, safe option for walkers. And there are just so many more people on it than there... It's usually pretty well trafficked, but there are so many more people out. And I'm like, where are all these people coming from? Like, where were they getting their... These must be gym people, right? Because all the gyms are closed. So, like, we're just redirecting the gym people onto the streets.
I think so. What I've noticed is, yeah, definitely the gym people who are, like, in the full athleisure wear or whatever. Like, I guess not even leisure, full athletic wear. And then I also see a lot of people walking around with their kids. Like, their kid will be on, like, a little scooter or a bike. Yeah, and, like, that one makes the most sense to me because it's, like...
Outdoor time.
Yeah, and, like, I'm sure being trapped inside with kids all day is a nightmare. So everyone who's doing that, you are the real MVP of the quarantine.
Shout out.
People with children. Yeah. Stay sane, please. Okay.
There should be some kind of rebate program for them, like...
Give your kids back?
Yes. Theoretically. I meant extra money for them to, like, go out and, you know, get a babysitter and go out on the town. Like, you should get more the younger your children are. That's my...
Oh.
And I would like to announce my candidacy for president. I feel like it's a good time for that.
Yeah, it's pretty bleak otherwise. So, Kate, if you can sneak in there, I think you could steal some last-minute votes.
Oh, I bet you there are some people who dropped out of the Democratic primary who are, like, trying to figure a way back in at this point. Because what more do people have to do than listen to other people talk right now? Sorry, speaking of which, you were trying to, like, direct us, you were trying to shepherd us in the direction of doing what we're actually supposed to be doing, which is talking about baseball, so.
Yeah, all I was gonna say is that this is a baseball podcast, and that there's no baseball in sight, which is the harsh reality. Yeah, theoretically, baseball is just, yeah, there's an asterisk next to it for the foreseeable future, because we have no idea if it will even exist, but... So obviously, as this is a baseball podcast and there is no baseball to talk about, we have been forced to crowdsource, shamelessly, I will say. We are letting all of our listeners do the work here. And we put out a question on Twitter, as we normally do, but instead of them being, oh, what did you think when you watched this person, they're just questions about sort of the general state of baseball in this weird time. Like, there's no, like... What do we think about so-and-so's pitch arsenal anymore? All of those questions are gone. These are now questions about quite literally anything, which is what we asked for. So thank you to everyone who submitted their question, particularly this one from Corbin McDonald at Just Corb, because it actually is something that I wanted to talk about with Kate anyway. So thank you, Corbin. Corbin's question says, in your opinions, how accurate are the Mariners player ratings in the show and out of the park baseball? I have not played either of these games, but I know that Kate Prusser on the other line has played them. So Kate, have you, first of all, have you been playing with the Mariners? And if so, what do you think of their ratings?
So huge caveats apply here. I'm not totally the best person to talk to about this, honestly. Because, and I think I've mentioned this before, I am I never held a PlayStation controller until about 2 weeks ago. So, 3 weeks? I don't know, time. Anyway, I've not played games, really, so I'm learning all of this very slowly. In the show, I'm very bad at the show, which does actually require some, like, hand-eye coordination to get the pitching things right. So I'm just still going through and teaching myself that, where I've been playing as a creative player. My dream of being a major league pitcher has finally come true. And so I've been playing Road to the Show, which I would say, like, when you play Road to the Show, you come up with, like, a pretty weird cast around you. Like, I think I'm in my second or third year and I've been called up, and it's like the rotation is me, Marco, Yusei, and then some weird Nestor Cortez, I think. And then Noel V. Marte is my shortstop and he's excellent, which is fantastic. But then there's like Jake Shiner and a bunch of like creative players. So I don't know that I can really speak to how accurate the overall picture is of the Mariners in the show just yet. That would be a better question for Joe Doyle, and we'll get him to talk about that at some point as we all kind of get into the show. What we have been doing a lot of is playing Out of the Park Baseball, OTP, which is a baseball simulation game. Anyone can play it. All you need is a computer and some dollars to purchase it, which conveniently enough, if you do, use the code LOOKOUTLANDING, you get a 10% discount. We published like a whole guide on how to play Out of the Park Baseball because I had never done it before. So if you're just starting out, that's a guide that's there for you that will kind of walk you through it because it's pretty overwhelming. Matthew, have you been tempted to play or buy Out of the Park? Or do you want to? Are you interested in that at all?
So, Out of the Park Baseball, there's no actual gameplay, right?
No, it's a sim. I mean, you can play, you can like manage the game sort of pitch to pitch, but it's not like the show where you're like, push a button to swing a bat, that kind of thing.
Okay, yeah. Then I'm not interested. I like the actual playing the game part. I mean, I know, like, I have played other sports games in the past. I've never played the show because I don't have a PlayStation. But, like, my favorite part of the sports games are actually playing the game. So, no, I don't have much of an interest in Out of the Park Baseball.
Yeah, Out of the Park is really about... it's really about the... If you like prospects, it is an excellent game for you to play. So I think that despite the fact that I'm not good at games, like, kind of my knowledge of prospects has helped out in that case. I would say that the show is, like, pretty... What we're finding, and we're going to publish an article about this, what we're finding is the show is pretty... You get different things happen every time you play, obviously, but the show has been pretty consistently high on Jared Kelnick. Like, we have all, there are, I don't know, 5 or 6 or 7 of us all playing it, and all of our Jared Kelnicks have gone on to do amazing things. Like, he is always a star in these games, which has been pretty fun. Logan Gilbert has not fared as well in a lot of them. So, the show, like, values some attributes pretty highly, and it values others lowly. Julio has been sometimes very, very good and sometimes has really struggled as he's gotten. So, I mean, it kind of just depends. But we've really been enjoying playing, and we're going to start to publish some more results of, like, individual simulations. I think, actually, I think Tim has one up today that, yes, Seattle Mariners hire Lookout Landing as GM manager. Which one can only dream, right?
Yeah, I think that element is really cool, like how you can take over everything. Like, in past video games, at least the ones that I was playing as a kid, like, you can do the whole, like, you control the entire system down to the minor leagues, but those guys are completely made up. Like, the fact that they have real players, like, yeah. Noel V. Marte does seem really cool.
Oh, they have real players down to, like, Gun Omasako and Jonathan Classe out of our DSL. I mean, they have, like, the actual full rosters uploaded, which is, again, for a prospect nerd, really, really fun. Unfortunately, it also means I'm, like, kind of bad at the game because I refuse to trade all of these guys. I will not let any of them go. Every time a trade proposal comes through for Julio or Jared, I just laugh in its virtual face. Which is bad because the system is not obviously going to, like, regard all of these guys as highly as I do. Sometimes Evan White turns out a star, sometimes he doesn't. Like, it really just kind of depends on how the sim goes. So, yes, I would say that, and again, I can only speak to the prospects because when I play, the first thing I do is trade away the entire major league roster. As far as the prospects go, of course, I personally have them all graded much, much higher than the game does.
Obviously, yeah. My video game playing kind of screeched to a halt after college, which I'm fine with. Like, I don't think I need, like, that's the missing piece in my life or anything. But the only ones I've, like, played with regularity since college are MVP Baseball 2005, which, kind of a if you know, you know situation. Like, people who grew up with it, like me, will regard it as, like, the best baseball video game of all time, even though it's horribly outdated now. But I was playing that on the GameCube because my old roommate had a GameCube, and then he selfishly took it when he moved out, even though it was his, which is, yeah, a bummer.
It's still rude.
So I'm left with my Xbox 360 that I've had for, like, 7 years, and the only game I play, like, quite literally the only game I play, is NCAA Football 2014, which is the last one they ever made before the government stepped in and put a ban on fun. but it is, like, the fact that it's the last one means it's, like, the best, you know, in terms of, like, gameplay and graphics and all that. And you also get, like, people who you remember, like, Johnny Manziel is in it as Texas A&M quarterback number 2, you know? Like, you can't actually use their names, but you know who all of them are. Right. So that's pretty fun. For the Huskies out there, Austin Safarian Jenkins, the tight end, is absolutely... He is unstoppable in this game. I think he might be, like, one of the best tight ends. So, like, you can just throw it to him on any play and he'll catch it. It's infuriating. So I play that game a lot. That game's really fun. But other than that, like, if... I don't think I need to, like, buy a PlayStation just to have the show. You know, if I already had a PlayStation, I probably would have bought it by now, but I don't want to make that whole switch. I've been pretty loyal to Xbox since I was a kid. And so, like I said, I'm also just not really playing video games.
I don't have a Switch. You're not part of this, like, Animal Crossing? Because I sort of vaguely hear... I've heard that the show, or that OOTP, is just Animal Crossing for people who know what war is, and that yes. feels accurate from what I can understand. Animal Crossing, but I don't understand, like, half the conversations that take place on Twitter anymore because I don't know what Animal Crossing is.
Yeah, from what I can gather, you're basically, like, living just a normal life, like a very mundane life, but you're an animal, and, like, you have to, like, go to work and do chores, and then the money that you earn goes to some, like, raccoon guy. That's, like, what I've seen from Twitter, and I'm not really trying to learn any more about it, but it seems like I get why people are playing it now, because it seems, like, kind of tedious, and, like, you don't have to, like, it just feels like a good substitute for actual life when there is no actual life anymore. So I get it, but I'm also, like, I'm not gonna play it. And I also have, like, kind of an interesting relationship to video games, because when I was a kid, my parents were, like, vehemently against all of the, like, shooting and violence ones. Sure, and I know sure. that Animal Crossing is not that at all, but
unless it's been very badly misrepresented by the people yeah. on Twitter.
But yeah, anyway, my parents were, like, absolutely, as they were both lawyers, so they were just, like, the very concept of a game called Grand Theft Auto was, like, abhorrent to them. So I would only play sports games. Those were the only games that they would buy for me. So then when I became an adult who, like, could buy my own at a certain point, I, like, never had any interest in buying any of the shooter games because I didn't have, like, a reference point for them, and I also didn't want to then, put in the effort to get good at them, you know, because if you're playing online against people who have been playing that game since they were 10 years old, you're just going to get demolished. So I've stuck to sports and the video game circuit for my entire life. I was very much that kid in your college dorm who would, like, play Super Smash Bros. With everyone because they wanted to be included, but was just button mashing the entire time. Like, I had no idea how to do any of the moves. I was falling off the map left and right, just dying in the stupidest ways. So...
I'm surprised that you didn't go, like, full rebellious and just completely, like, I grew up with a friend her parents didn't let her have any sweets, ever. Like, she couldn't ever have sweets, and so when she got to college, like, all she did, I used to sleep in her bed sometimes when we had sleepovers. She went to a different school than I did, and I'd, like, reach my hand under a pillow and come out with, like, a giant bag of, like, half-melted Reese's Pieces. It was like living with a squirrel in some ways. Like, just open her bathroom cabinet and there'd be, like, a box of Blow Pops on the shelf. Like, so weird. Why do you do this?
Well, I think
that... lesson for the parents out there. Don't give your kids a mug of frozen peas and tell them it's ice cream since they were born. They will not grow up healthy.
Well, I think the interesting part about the video game thing you mentioned, like, I don't think I had any inkling to rebel and, like, just become really into Call of Duty or whatever, because I think the reason that people are into that sort of thing is because they grew up with it. Like, I feel like it would be hard to develop that part of your brain, that sort of, like, kind of aggro, for lack of a better term, like, you know, like, violent in a virtual way. That doesn't really happen unless you are playing the game. So if you don't ever have it, I don't think your brain develops to say, I would love to shoot an alien in the face right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, there's that argument about, like, do video games desensitize us to violence? I don't know if, like, an alien popped up in the middle of the show, if I would feel comfortable with shooting it. But I will say that when Alex Bregman came up in my game the other night, I wanted so badly to strike him out, like, more than I've wanted anything in a really long time. And when I did, I actually, like, let out kind of a war whoop, even though, obviously, I'm playing the game on beginner level. Like, I probably could have struck him out with any pitch, but I just, oh, man, the rush of adrenaline from doing, yeah. So I kind of get it, but it is weird to come to it as an adult and basically be trying to learn this language that a lot of people just grew up knowing, because I understand so little about how to make it all work. So anyway, sorry if that was a bad answer to that question about how the Mariners are rated, because I am not an expert, but I will get Joe to try to give a more detailed perspective at some later point.
Right. As long as they're valuing all the prospects the exact way we want them to, it sounds like it's a win for all of us.
Yes, 5 stars for everyone. 5 stars for all my favorites.
Let's move to another question on Twitter from The Lady Jane. This is a fantastic question, so thank you, Jane.
Yes,
they said,
you.
If you were quarantined with 4 Mariners from any time period and only had 1 Mariner game to watch with them, which Mariners do you choose and which game? I kind of have a cop-out answer to this. Like, I'm going to pick a very obvious game with some very obvious Mariners, but I think it would be the best possible experience. So if you have a more off-the-beaten-path answer, I was going to let you go first.
No.
No? Okay. I'm going to be boring, like I said. I'm just going to pick Game 5 of the 95 ALDS, and I want to watch it with Griffey, Edgar, A-Rod, and Joey Cora. I mean, not A-Rod, sorry. Griffey, Edgar, Randy Johnson, and Joey Cora. Because they were all heavily involved in that game. I think it'd be fun. I've always been, like, I love when MLB Network will do that, where they actually break down the game with the people who were involved. I think they've done that, actually, for the game I'm talking about, but they did it with David Cone.
Yeah, that Mariners, I think they have, but also that Mariners special that they did just about the 95 team just a little while ago, which, if you haven't seen, I recommend going and looking up, because it's pretty brilliantly produced.
It is, yeah. The documentary that Kate's talking about is very good.
I was not there. Yes. I was not there, but I was old enough to watch it on TV and understand what was happening and stuff. For you, Matthew, that's something that's very, really far outside your, life experience. So in a lot of ways, I think it would be like being able to sit there with the players themselves would be the closest you could get to living through that game the first time it happened.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But I think the interesting part for me would be, because I was saying, like, the documentary that you mentioned is fantastic, and I would encourage everyone to watch it, and they do talk, obviously, at length about that game, but MLB Network also used to do this thing. I think it was just their, like, MLB's Greatest Game series, where they would take great games, and this game was included in that series, and they would actually sit down with people who played in the game and have them kind of break it down inning by inning. So they did that for this game, but they had David Cone as the guest, who was on the losing team, and it wasn't that cool. I was like, this guy's gonna be he has negative memories about this game, and like the biggest moment is when they leave him in to pitch to Doug Strange and he walks him, and that's when they take David Cone out, and you can tell like he doesn't want to talk about that. He's like very like scarred by it. So I think if they were to essentially do that but with the four Mariners that I mentioned, which will never happen because they're just, it's so hard to get all these people in the same room. But if
right.
I could
also,
watch.
Do you really want to be quarantined? Remember, you have to be quarantined with them. So, quarantined with Edgar, obviously, fantastic. Quarantined with Randy Johnson, I don't know. I don't know if I would want to do that. First of all,
really?
He's huge. He's going to eat all the snacks. Secondly,
yeah, that's
like,
true.
He is kind of a firebrand personality. Like, I want.
See, that's what I was going to say. I think that was his athletic persona. He seems very mellow from his post-playing career. All he does is just take pictures of stuff, and like his speaking voice is very calming to me. I don't know if other people have that reaction, probably because a lot of people do associate him with like screaming and pumping his chest on the mound. But when I hear him talk, I think he has like a very like soothing kind of incantation to a lot of things he says. That might just be
ASMRJ.
Kind of, yeah. It is kind of that. And, like, he is obsessed with photography, which is, like, a very zen hobby.
Mm. Yeah, okay. All right. I could buy it. I think I have a different answer now that I think about it. And I think that what I would want to watch with players is the comeback game against the Padres from 2016. When they had, like, the improbable double-digit run comeback.
Yeah, that's a good choice.
And I think Deho Lee was on that team, so obviously Deho has to be a choice. And Leonis, who was like Leonis Martin, who was like the huge driver at the heart of that. I love that 2016 team so much. They were. I feel like I say this every other year, but I really felt like they had an opportunity to do it. So, like, Nelson Cruz, Leonis, and Deho Lee, and maybe I could get some Paxton in there, too, just because I think he's low-key, like, extremely funny, and I would enjoy being quarantined with him. Leonis would probably get old after a while. He would be bouncing off the walls, but just for the experience of rewatching that game, which he didn't even play in, as I recall. He was just on the top step of the dugout the entire time. That is the most fun I've had watching a Mariner game in. It just has such a special place in my heart. It was, I think, that the most fun I have had watching a Mariner game in the past 4 or 5 years. So
that's a good choice, too, because
somebody's going to well actually at me on that and come up with a game that I had more fun at. But as far as, like, experiences that really stick out in my memory that weren't, like, a no-hitter, you know, any of the obvious ones, that's definitely one of them, or the one that comes up the most.
Right. I think that's also a good choice because it was pretty long, so you get to kill a lot of time during the quarantine, you know? Like, I've been doing that with other things, like, I was never really a big documentary person, but I've been gravitating towards documentaries, especially longer ones, because it's like, it feels like I'm learning something, and also it's just great to kill 2.5 hours, you know? Especially if it's like a series one, where it's like basically just TV episodes, and like you have to watch the next one to find out the next big thing. I've been doing that a lot, so I think this is kind of the baseball version of that, where every inning is like, oh, how many runs do they score now? Because you forget the details when you go back and watch old games. Like, you know they win, but you don't remember who got the hit where, like, what happens, what pitchers come in and all that. So that would be fun to sort of go through again.
For sure.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
For sure. Thank you for the question, Jane. We have a similar one. Obviously, there's a lot of quarantine questions, which makes sense. It's the only thing happening on Earth right now. This one is from Aaron Stern, and I like it because it's very vague. Lets us kind of paint with a wide brush here. What do you think the Mariners are up to during quarantine? What is their favorite thing to cook during social isolation? Kate, as our resident sort of Instagram lurker, yeah, on all the players' pages, you might have actual concrete answers to this.
I know. I mean, you know, it was weird because at first everyone was very, very, like, posty all the timey, but now that's gone a little... obviously, people don't have anything to post of, so it's just them kind of hanging out at home doing various things. And they're basically baseball players are kind of boring. So they're doing exactly what you expect they're doing. They're cooking healthy food. They're getting their work in, lifting weights, throwing into nets, et cetera, et cetera. I would like to shout out, if you do want to follow a player on Instagram, Jack Anderson, the submarine pitcher. I feel like it's appropriate that he has, like, the most interesting Instagram, but his Instagram is kind of a work of art. Like, he's very clever about the way he places his text when he's, like, writing captions for pictures. And he did a series yesterday on building a box for box jumps or whatever. Again, something boring, but he made it interesting and funny. So I think it is at the Jandy Man. Which again sort of tells you what kind of humor you can be expecting there. But yeah, he's one of... I wouldn't go so far as to say he's my favorite follow just because he doesn't post a ton, but whenever he posts, I'm always like, yes, I can't wait to see what you have to say, which is not always the reaction. What do I... And then, you know, there's Marco, who is like a pretty constant poster, so... There's really no question about what he's doing. Like, he's walking his dog at Alki, and he's eating giant bowls of, like, barley, greens, eggs, avocado. Like, that seems to be what he eats for every single meal, which I'm sure is very healthy, but also, I would be so bored of that by now.
I'm already getting bored of the food that I bought, and, like, it was just from one grocery run. You know, I can't imagine if that was what he was truly eating all year, like, even when he's not quarantining.
Yeah, I think because his wife is, like, a fitness person, that's when they eat at home, and they eat at home a fair amount, that's what they eat. I guess, theoretically, you could mix it up with a lot of things, but, man, I would just really be wanting, like, a big old slice of pizza after a while. And, you know, there's a famous saying in teaching, nobody talks about their bad days. Like, whenever you read sort of case studies or whatever, or narrations from people talking about their lessons, they don't ever talk about the failures. They always talk about the successes. So maybe it's similar. Like, you post the really good stuff and not, like, the cheat foods so much, cultivating that image and all. I have been cooking a lot and making a lot of different things, but it's a very delicate balance, right? Like, figuring out how often you can go to the grocery store and, like, still kind of feel safe, and then just slowly facing down another night of, like, boxed macaroni and cheese. Like, it's hard to kind of introduce. And I imagine if I was an athlete and, like, very concerned about my nutrition, that would be even more of a challenge.
Right. I have my go-tos that I know that I won't mess up, and also that I know I can get at the store now. Like, I'm not really going to go in there and, like, search for very specific ingredients. Like, I'm getting things that I can use over and over. So I definitely did the, like, absolutely obscene pot of pasta that's, like, will last 5 days, and I'm still working through that, you know?
The magic pot of pasta. Good call.
Yeah. So that's just in various Tupperwares in my fridge. And then I bought, like, a bunch of chicken to keep in the freezer, and I'll just defrost that and cook it up with different spices that I already have. I haven't gotten to the point yet where I'm, like, looking up, like, intricate recipes, you know, because I'm trying to just, I don't want to, like, be reminded that these are weird times, you know. I'm trying to keep as much normalcy as possible, so it's like, might as well kind of cook the things that you already were doing and know that you're good at, rather than, because also the other thing is, like, meals are, like, such a hinge of the day now, and, like, that's all I really look forward to, or, like, that's how I kind of measure time. So then if you screw up one of the meals, it's like, well, that was a huge portion of the day that is now ruined, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want the whole dinner that I was looking forward to all day to then become a disappointment and think about, like, oh, what am I going to make tomorrow to replace this, you know? So I've been keeping it very simple. I'm also not a good cook, so that's the other reason for it. But the grocery store thing is tough because, like you said, it is kind of a weird environment to be in just because there's so many other people. But then there's also the, like, you don't want to take, like, necessary things away from people who, like, desperately need them, whereas I just want them. But then also, this is the least important, is you have to, like, plan it out in terms of when they restock, you know? Like, you have to kind of figure out, like, when they're gonna have the stuff you need, because I've definitely had the problem many times during this where you go in and, like, something that they had yesterday is now completely gone. It's like, well, when did you restock this? Like, I need to know. I need to figure out what time to be here so I can make sure I get the freshest stuff. And that's been tough. And also I tried to do that with not food, with you know, those fuzzy posters that you color in that are all, like, psychedelic and stuff.
Yes.
I was trying to buy one of those to pass the time, because I remember doing one in high school and just thinking it was a lot of fun, and Bartels was out of them, so other people have had the exact same idea that I've had.
I would just like to issue an open plea to everyone to please stop making sourdough bread starters, because you're buying all the flour. I've tried so many times to find flour, and, like, I need flour for baking actual, for cooking recipes, like, for thickening sauce. Like, flour has so many uses, and I don't know if you know how much flour is involved in a sourdough starter, but it is a lot. Like, it's like a cup a day for the first week or so. And that's just a ton of flour to be burning through for something that, like, you are going to let die after the pandemic is over. Like, the sourdough starter is going to get stuck in the back of the fridge and be a waste. So anyway, I just ask people to think really carefully about whether or not they need that to have that sourdough starter. And be feeding it with flour constantly, because it started out just, like, mildly annoying that I couldn't find flour, and I expected it to pass, and I was like, flour will come back in, like, you know, people, you can only go through so much flour at a time, not realizing that everyone was making sourdough starter, which will consume your flour supply very quickly. So just please people, be smart, be sensible. I have been doing a lot of cooking. I am a pretty good cook, but I think it's a lot about the recipes that you have, that you, like, I know enough about cooking that I know if a recipe is going to work or not, and I can fix it midway. I do worry about people like my friend Ian, who I don't think has cooked for himself ever, maybe. Like, he went from college to, you know, kind of a life of, like, eating out, and he works for Google, so they have a cafeteria, and he just eats all his meals there. Like, literally, his fridge is beer and condiments most of the time. So I do, like, wonder about how he's getting along, and how everyone who doesn't know how to cook are getting along right now, especially people who live alone. So hit me up on Twitter if that is you. I will give you some easy recipes to easy, no-fail recipes. And actually, Matthew, I'll give you some, too, because I don't want you to have to eat your giant pot of pasta for a week at a time.
Well, thank you. That's very nice. I will do it. I will eat the pasta. I will eat your recipe. I will take anything that I can right now. But I also want to say, on a somewhat serious note, like, I think it's very easy right now to, like, especially if you're on Twitter, which I'm sure most of us listening to this are, like, you're seeing all of this stuff about, like, what people are doing, like, how they're using this time to do X, Y, Z, whatever. I think it's very important to remember that, like, you don't have to do anything. Like, no. Obviously, mm-hmm. with this much time, it's sort of natural to think, what can I do with this? But if you don't have anything that, like, really compels you, you don't have to do it. Like, the sourdough starter thing is being shoved down America's throat right now. And, like, I know that I'm never, ever, ever, quarantine or not, there's no chance that I ever do that. And, like, I'm 100% at peace with that. You know, and people are saying, like, now's a great time to learn to cook, which it is. Like, if you want to do that, that's your prerogative. Go ahead. But also, like, you can just eat the box mac and cheese if that's what makes you happy. It goes back to that thing I said at the very beginning. Like, do whatever works for you. You don't feel obligated to learn a bunch of new skills that in all actuality you will probably dump as soon as real life starts again.
Yes. Philip Larkin, talking about poetry, centered the pleasure principle, which is like, above all else, a poem should give you pleasure, which is something that's kind of been debated, and with people saying like, no, poetry also has a political part thing, that poetry should discomfort you in some ways. But he's talking about just like the language should bring you pleasure in some way, and you can do that through rhyme schemes, not rhyming, formal, not formal. Do what makes you happy. Do what brings you pleasure, and don't feel like, yeah, I think that especially because everybody, you're only seeing people's lives through social media right now in large parts. You're seeing them over Zoom calls. Everyone is able to present just like the tiny slice of life that they want to or feel like they need to right now. And I know that I have on my own Twitter account been like, here's a thing that I'm doing in quarantine that helps. Here's a craft that I did that is very easy. Like, I'm trying to be useful and provide suggestions or ideas just because that's how I feel like I can be the most useful in a quarantine. Like, I am a teacher by nature. I want to be a helper. So if I can offer ideas, that's very much my response in like when something goes wrong. I want to offer ideas about how to make things better or offer ideas that I feel like could help. And I feel like that is valid. And also wanting to just curl up in a ball and sleep a lot of the time is also valid. As long as like it's not distressing you, you're not having your quality of life diminished by how much you're sleeping, right? Like, do you want to sleep 10 hours a night right now? Go ahead, do it. Literally, this is your time to do that, and don't feel bad about it.
Yeah, there's certainly nothing wrong with sharing whatever you're doing, encouraging others to do so, but if you're on the receiving end of that, it's also 1,000% okay to just say, no thank you. I'm not going to do any of these things. You know,
I
was just going to say, I think that watching TV or whatever, like, they get sort of this connotation of like doing nothing. But if that is your doing something, like if that is what you look forward to, it's what you were planning on doing, and that's like you, then do that. It doesn't matter if it's not necessarily productive in the way that America has conditioned us to think about productivity.
Yes. I think too, like, it's not doing that. It's not being passive when you're watching TV or watching a show or something. I mean, there are different kinds of watching TV, right? Like, I'm not out here trying to argue that Love is Blind is going to change your life in any important ways. Maybe it will. I don't know. Who am I to say, really? But there are a lot of different kinds of, there's comfort TV, which I have definitely been rewatching. Cheers, which I watched in like reruns as a kid, because that's very comforting to me right now. Am I getting anything out of Cheers? No, there is no like value that I am deriving from watching Cheers, other than it's very comforting. It feels like my childhood, and I don't have to engage in it, really. It's not like watching prestige television or something that is more challenging. So yeah, recognizing there are a lot of different ways that you're engaging with media and materials right now, and that each of them can serve a different purpose.
Absolutely.
Also, on that note, I'm going to say, I'm not interested in watching old baseball games, and I have been guilting myself over this fact. Like, I see an ad for, like, oh, we're going to do a big rewatch of the 2010 something or other. I'm like, I don't want to do that. Does that make me a bad baseball fan? Like, I don't want to go back and rewatch parts of this history? No, it's because that makes me sad. Like, it makes me sad to go watch old baseball games and know that there's no baseball. Oh, I'm feeling, like, emotional just talking about it. For some reason, watching the old versions doesn't warm my heart. It makes me very sad. So, giving myself permission as somebody who runs a baseball site not to engage in that and be like, I feel in some ways like I'm kind of not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I should be like leading this engagement, leading this charge and getting everyone to watch it with us. But I can't, I don't want to, it hurts my heart. So a big part of what I've been working through over the quarantine is like just giving myself permission not to engage with baseball, at least the old version of it right now.
I get it. Yeah. I think that like the rewatch this is a nice pocket for rewatching things, cause there's not much else to do. So like I have been doing that with TV and movies and a couple baseball games here and there, but I totally understand how like being reminded that there's nothing live happening can have sort of that adverse effect where you're like, well, this is cool, I'm enjoying watching baseball again, but it's not the same as like what could be happening, you know? Yeah. There's a lot of reminders of what could or should or would be happening if the pandemic hadn't happened. I will also say that in addition to rewatching stuff, I've been using this time, like I said, to kind of discover new things, like watching a lot of documentaries. I watched a documentary about Casey Anthony because I was a child. I was a child when that trial was happening, so I remember it tangentially, and that shit is bananas. So if any of you have Hulu, there's a 3-part documentary about Casey Anthony that I liked. I'm not going to tell you whether or not you should watch it, because I know we just spent 20 minutes saying that it's not the time to guilt people into watching things, but if you need something to watch, that Casey Anthony documentary, especially if you're like me, you don't remember it happening in real time, it is a fascinating thing to dive into. And also, while we're here, listen to old podcasts. The Lookout Landing podcast is a rich text, folks.
It's true. We have so many that, I mean, you can go back and listen to the Art Warren one, which is so interesting. I mean, that was just a couple years ago, and now here he is in the majors. We have a whole backlog. Although, again, if hearing people talk about live baseball is sad to you, then obviously avoid that if that's a trigger. I wanted to also talk about, and I meant to address this at the top of the show, but MLB's plan to play the whole season in Arizona, which currently I feel like is much more remote than the amount of coverage it's being given represents. Like, I think it is on the table as a possible idea, but because it is the only thing that is on the table that's being talked about as like a real solution, outlets have kind of seized it and are giving it a lot of coverage, and I feel like the possibility of it is very, very remote, just because logistically, I mean it's an idea that would work in theory, but I think logistically, once they start trying to figure out just even do we have enough hotel rooms in the Phoenix area for all these players, can we safely put players in an outdoor stadium in July in Arizona, I think that that's going to start to really, it's just the fatal flaws of the plan will start to show through. But I was interested in what you thought of that, Matthew, and how, so on the scale of 1 being like a snowflake's chance in hell to 10 being like, yes, this is definitely the direction I think they're going to go in, I would put it at like a 2.5, maybe a 3.
I was going to say 2. I think it's an awful plan. I didn't read the whole thing. I kind of skimmed it and I saw the, you know, the main talking points that people were bringing up. And mainly the main one is like, yeah, they're not going to be able to play outdoor baseball in August in Arizona. Like, the only reason that Chase Field works is because it has the roof and it's, I would assume, air conditioned and all that.
Yes,
like,
it is.
Making them play at a minor league stadium or whatever, like, you know, Arizona State, wherever they can find a stadium in the middle of the summer feels like a punishment rather than a reward. Like, the reward at the end of this should be baseball again, not a cheapened version of it that they're doing just so they don't lose all of their money. So yeah, it's an awful plan. I honestly haven't given it much credence at all. I think MLB knew they had to say something, so they were like, well, what if we did this? And everyone's like, maybe not. So, like, I get why something had to come out, but I think that it was pretty short-sighted. I don't think they put a lot of thought into it. Like you said, logistically, it doesn't make any sense from a hotel standpoint. I mean, like, how would you do any of it? It's a bad plan. So I don't have very full thoughts on it because I haven't given much attention to it. But it's definitely, it's not going to happen, and it shouldn't happen, frankly.
Again, and that's why it's the end of the show and we're talking about it, because I don't feel like there's a strong possibility, but I do feel like every time I log on to Twitter, I see some article that's reacting to it. Again, a huge part of this is, like, this is just what people have to talk about right now, so it's getting a lot more coverage than I think an actually serious plan would. So, Don't let the amount of saturation of this idea that you see lead you to believe that this is something that will probably happen. And also, I'll tell you right off the bat, all those articles are the same. They all say this is a stupid idea, because it is. So.
Right. And I have seen a couple players on Twitter who are like, if we can play baseball, I'm all for it. But you also have to remember that, like, that's all these people know. Like, obviously they're going to say they want to play baseball. A lot of them probably didn't even read the whole plan. They just heard that we could do a season in Arizona. And they were like, okay, sure, if it's healthy. I think Nolan Arenado was, I'm paraphrasing, but he was like, as long as it's safe, I'm down. And it's like, no, dude, like, that's going to make people think that it's, like, a much better plan than it actually is, especially if you're someone of his caliber who has, you know, he's one of the 20 best players in the game. Like, people are going to listen to him. So I don't think that that is doing anyone any good to ask the players, because all they're going to do is say, yeah, I want to play baseball, whatever we can do to make it happen. You know.
Also, as long as it's safe is doing a ton of work in that sentence. Important to recognize as well, because obviously the definitions of what is safe is highly objective or subjective right now. So, yes. But you know, if anyone hasn't, go read Matthew's "This Sucks and I Hate It" piece on lookoutlanding.com, which I felt like was a cathartic read, because it helped to read a lot. Will it make you feel better? Not necessarily, but it was cathartic because it kind of says in print a lot of the feelings that I have in my heart that I can't always say to myself during the day, because then I'll start being sad about there being no baseball again. So sometimes it's important to find healthy outlets, and that's definitely one of them. That and your ability to pair what is a pretty tough situation with jokes, which I really appreciate, Matthew. I wouldn't mind being quarantined with you.
Thank you. That's very kind. And you basically nailed it. I mean, the whole reason I wrote that was because I just had a bunch of thoughts that I couldn't really, they were just rattling around in my head for so long, and I don't have anyone to talk to. Like, obviously I can call people on the phone, whatever, like, but you know what I mean. There's no one physically here with me, so I was like, I just need to get this all out on paper, and it's much easier for me to express full thoughts, at least in writing, rather than verbally. So
yeah, for sure.
That is what you got. It's like 1400 words of me just saying this all sucks. But yeah, go read it if you feel so compelled, but also, like we've been saying the whole time, if you want to avoid it, I would understand that too. We can say with full certainty that listening to podcasts is totally fine for your health. There's nothing dangerous about this. We are not even in the same part of the city, so we're very far apart. This is CDC approved podcast.
Absolutely.
And we thank you for listening and for submitting questions, as that was the only thing we really had keeping us afloat during these times. It's hard to just get on here and freestyle, so the questions are nice little train tracks to get us in the right direction.
Yes, thank you for listening, even though there is no baseball, and knowing that every time you click and download the podcast, it helps support the site and it helps us. So thank you from the bottom of our hearts, and stay safe out there.
Exactly. Everything Kate said. Read Lookout Landing. Subscribe to this podcast if you like it. Download old episodes, and that will help us make more and do more stuff on the site for as long as there's no baseball. And then hopefully into the season, whenever that is, when there's real baseball. But we're going to keep doing this, and hope you keep listening. And goodbye.
Take care. Goodbye. Take care.
I've got some issues that nobody can see, and all of these emotions are pouring out of me. I bring them to the life in you. It's only right. This is the soundtrack to my life. The soundtrack.